Hallelujah. Pastor said, some of us has had a long year, and we should just praise God for getting us through it. And as he was saying that, and I began to dwell on what he said, I was reminded of an athlete, one of the top ball players in the NBA, going back to a town that did not like him. And as he stepped on the court, there were all kinds of signs, and they hurled all kinds of insults, and there was all kinds of speculation as to how he would perform. And he had his best game of the year. Amidst all the shouting and the insults, the mocking and the scorn, and as I put that event together with what Pastor Metcalf said, folk can talk about you all day long. Folk can hurl insults and say whatever they want, and you can have your best game. Don't let what somebody say about you define you. Praise God anyhow. Praise him anyhow. Your best game is ahead of you. Don't worry about the trials and the trouble. It's going to be there. You just stay on the battlefield. Your best game, you can still have your best game. But you got to come correct and you got to come ready. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. We welcome all of you to Blessed Hope Bible Church this morning. I'm filled up inside. Glory to his name. And we want to extend to everybody a very blessed and merry Christmas. And we pray that this season will be one that is filled with comfort and joy as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To learn more about us, go to our website at bhbcstl.org. You know, when I look at how the world celebrates Christmas, one would be hard-pressed, and I certainly am, to find the true meaning when I observe how it's celebrated on the streets, to find the true meaning of this time of year. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about that comes from the WisconsinNews.com. This is a situation that happened there in Milwaukee. It says, Milwaukee police arrested a 37-year-old woman on Sunday afternoon, after accusing her of assaulting a 100-year-old greeter at a major retailer. Police said the suspect was leaving the store and the greeter was checking the suspect's receipt to make sure the items in her cart matched it. The suspect thought the greeter was taking too long, and police said the suspect pushed the 100-year-old woman. The 100-year-old greeter said she landed on the floor and hit her head and her arm. She was treated and released at an area hospital. Christmas. Yes. What do you say to explain to someone this time of year when you see a story like that, when you have a cart filled with Christmas gifts and you've been shopping on Sunday? Sunday, you got a double whammy here, where it's Christmas, you got a cart filled with toys and goodies, and it's Sunday. And because the greeter was taking too long, you shove them down, and they got to go to the hospital, and you got to go to jail. Merry Christmas. And as I look at this example, this is just one example of many ironies and paradoxes that occur during Christmas, a time that's supposed to be filled with peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And I'm convinced more now than ever before that it is the responsibility of us, the Church of God, to restore the reverence and majesty of the birth of our Lord and Savior. His birth changed human history. How many of you know that today? I said his birth changed human history. None of you all would be here today if Jesus had not been born. You wouldn't be set free had he not been born. You wouldn't be going to heaven had he not been born. You wouldn't be able to say hallelujah had he not been born. Well, you say, well, yes, I could. Yeah, but nobody be listening. had Christ not been born. Aren't you glad he's born today? That he was born for you and he was born for me. Glory to his name this morning. And today we're going to begin a two-part series entitled Worship Fit for the King. And I know that history has recorded a whole lot of rulers and emperors and princes, and many of our students who are taking world history, and they learn about all these great empires that existed. But there's only one king that deserves our worship and praise, and that king is Jesus Christ. You can go to Rome, and what you'll find are the ruins of an old empire, but when you come to Christ, his kingdom is still going strong. Amen. Hallelujah. The Gospel of Matthew records the story of some wise men from the east in search of the king of Israel. And they were guided by a star. And this star led them to the city of Bethlehem. And in chapter 2, verse 11 of Matthew's Gospel, we find these words. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Worship fit for the king. I want you this morning to focus on the phrase, and it may be underlined in the screen, coming in the house. Because in order to give God the right kind of worship and in order to render a worship fit for the king, you got to be in the right house. You got to be in the right house. And what has always fascinated me, I've read this story since I was 16 years old. And what has always amazed me and fascinated me was not the presence of the wise men at the stable, but the absence of the religious rulers. The ones who you would expect to have gotten to the stable first, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, these teachers of the law, who we would think or assume or presume that they had some form of inside information regarding where Jesus was. That's who I would expect to be here, not some wise men from the east, but those who were already in Bethlehem. But you know what's interesting is this. These religious rulers, as I look at this in this story, what makes this so strange is that the nation of Israel has not had a king in nearly 600 years. They have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then when God sends them a king, they're nowhere to be found. They have been praying. They have been prophesying. They have been doing this, waiting and waiting for a king. Isaiah said the king is on his way. Jeremiah said the king is on his way. Daniel talked about the king. And other prophets have talked about the king. And now the king shows up. And those who should be skillful and scholarly in their understanding of what the prophets foretold were nowhere to be found. They didn't see him. They couldn't find him. They didn't know where he was exactly. They knew of what the scripture said, but I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But as I think about these religious rulers, it reminds me of the predicament of so many Christians today. They know where to find Jesus, but they're not looking for him. God has already given you the answer to your situation. He has already given you direction as to what choices you need to make. He has already met the need, but you don't know it because you're not looking in the right place. Some of y'all are praying prayers that God has already answered. You say, well, why don't I know the answer? Because you're too busy focusing on the trouble and on the problem. You can't see that God has already made a way. He's already opened the door. He's already did what you asked him to do and then some. But because we become so caught up in how big the problem is and how deep the circumstance and the trouble might be, we can't see God working it out on our behalf. And some of us, we need a wake-up call. And realize that a whole lot of stuff that you're praying about, God has already dealt with it for you. He's already sent the blessing. He's already done this. You're praying for stuff that he hadn't already did. He's just waiting for you to open your eyes and see it's already there. It's already there. You say, Pastor, I don't believe it. I know you don't. That's why you can't see it. You can believe the problem. Why can't you believe the answer? You can believe the pain. Why can't you believe the healing? We're so quick to believe the trouble, but we can't believe the triumph. Well, let me tell you something. It's time for us to, if you're going to believe that you can get in some trouble, you need to believe in God that he can get you out of trouble. Stop believing the negative stuff, the bad stuff, and all the stuff that you done did in your past. We know about that already, but why not believe in somebody who's bigger than your past, your trouble, your mess, and your mistakes all put together? Quit worrying and start worshiping and give him the glory that he deserves. Now, this is not going to be a 3-point sermon. I'm just going to preach. Where were these rulers when Jesus was born? Well, at the beginning of the chapter, they had been summoned to Herod's palace. That's where they were. They were at Herod's palace. Amen. That's where you'll find them. And you say, which Herod? Because there were several of them. But we're talking about Herod the Great. And Herod had a title, and that title was King of the Jews. And that's interesting. Now we got two King of the Jews. One's in a stable, and one is in a palace. But Herod was not the anointed king. He was the appointed king. He wasn't the anointed king. There was a king of Israel that was there. Who was the anointed one? But this Herod, he was not the anointed king. He was the appointed king. Right. In fact, he was not even a descendant of the royal line of David. He wasn't even a Jew. He was actually a descendant of Esau. And for the first time in Israel's history, they had a king who was not a part of the Jewish nation. And I want to lift this thought up for you this morning. It is very discouraging to have somebody running your life when they don't understand you. That's why when Herod saw these wise men and they said, we're looking for the king, he got scared because he knew he wasn't the right king. Right. Y'all not listening. That's why he trembled and had to call in some backup, because he knew, I know if there's a king they're looking for and they're not looking for me. Right. But I got the title. Yeah, but you don't have the anointing. God didn't pick you. Rome picked you. But God had already picked his king and sent his king. That's why Herod was scared. Amen. Because the real king had arrived. And we look at this dilemma for King Herod. And we look at what it poses also for you and me. We look at a situation, and I want to talk about the situation in plight of African Americans. We had a situation like this in which we lived in a time of Jim Crow segregation. And even those in Africa know about apartheid and other forms of colonialism, as it is called. Having somebody tell you what to do and what not to do. Wasn't that miserable? Wouldn't you imagine that? Until civil rights And I give all the glory to God for all of the progress we've made, but we still have a long way to go. But I know that there are some people in this room who remember what it was like to be told to drink at which fountain and what bathroom they had to use. And when you go into the theater, sit in the back. When you get on the bus, you better sit on the back. Sit at the back of the bus. It doesn't feel good to be told where to sit, what you can do, what you can eat, and how much money you can spend, and this, that, and the other. You can go to this restaurant, but you can't go to that one. But if we let you in this restaurant, you need to eat outside in the back. We'll bring your food to you there. Well, that is the exact same situation that faced the nation of Israel. They had a ruler who didn't know nothing about them. Didn't know nothing that was going on in their life. And some of us got some people in our life that we need to deal with. Who really don't know us, but they say they love us. They even might like us. But the fact of the matter is, they're not really with us. Y'all not listening this morning. Y'all expected to hear Little Drummer Boy, but I don't have a drummer boy this morning. I just want to preach. Listen to me very carefully. There are some folk who are making you miserable, and you're allowing them to rule in certain situations in your life, and you got to get to the real king and quit following this fake king. You need to step up and stand up and know that God is able, but you got to get to the stable. And while the religious teachers were at the palace of Herod, the fake king, the wise men were at the stable worshiping the true king. And as I look at this story and I try to view it through the lens of modern society, I have to draw this conclusion. I expect sinners and religious folk to get Christmas wrong. I expect those who don't know the Lord, atheists and agnostics, Muslims, Hindus and Jews, and other religious types, I expect them to miss Christmas, but I don't expect saints to miss it. It's one thing to look at the world and see that they don't have a clue what Christmas is all about. But then there are so many Christians who miss out on the life-changing power of the birth of Christ because, like the religious rulers, they're in the wrong house. They're in the wrong house. They got the understanding and the knowledge. They can break open their Bible and tell you where to find him, but they're not looking for him themselves. That's why Christmas comes and goes for them, and their life never grows, their life never changes. They go from one year to the next, just the same old person they were. There's no growth, there's no maturing of that particular believer because they choose not to mature because they're in the wrong house. Amen. Which raises this question: where are you spending Christmas this season? Are you going to hang out at Herod's palace? That is, the malls, the stores, the shops, the casinos, the clubs? Or can we find you worshiping the true King? You say, Pastor, you should be talking to sinners. I'm talking to saints. Where are you spending Christmas? But you don't need to talk about casinos in church. Yes, I do. Where are you spending Christmas? You say, well, Pastor, no, take that to the street. No, I'm taking it right where it belongs, at Blessed Hope Bible Church. The Word of God says that judgment must begin at the house. Are y'all listening? At the house of God. Where are you spending Christmas? Are you looking for the best deal, or are you searching for the real deal? Are you hoping for something special on the tree, or are you here to worship the one who gave his life on the tree? You got to make up your mind. Where are you spending Christmas? You got to understand the religious folk, the ones who had the Torah, if you will, who had the Bible of that day in their hand, were in the wrong house. There are a lot of Christians in their attitude, they're in the wrong house. And listen to me, I know that Herod's palace is shiny. I know it's big, and I know it's sensory, and it appeals to the eye gate, and the smell gate, and the touch gate, and the feel gate, and the hearing gate, the ear gate. I know it hits you on all those five empirical senses that you studied in psychology 101. I feel you, if I may say that youthful phrase. But there's no hope in Herod's palace. There's no joy in Herod's palace. There's no peace in Herod's palace. There's no love in Herod's palace. You can't get to heaven from Herod's palace. You might be able to get some tinsel and a fake tree, but you can't get any real joy. Not in Herod's palace. Why? Because Herod is a counterfeit king, and all he can give is counterfeit joy. That's all he can offer you is counterfeit. Yeah, but it's not a sin to go to the malls, but it is a sin to put the mall before the grace of God. Amen. With any old sin to go out shopping, yes, but it is a sin to spend your offering on some gift for somebody who don't like you. The two biggest times in which giving falls is in the summer and when Jesus is born. This month we'll take up the lowest offering of the year. Because Herod got the money. Jesus gets the problems. I'm going to preach now. Y'all see we, I want to hit something. I wear a size 13. Start moving your feet because I'm here to step. Herod got the money. Jesus gets the sins. He gets the problems. He gets the brokenness. We give all that mess to him. And we give all that trouble to him. We give all that problem to him. But when it's time to open up that pocketbook and that checkbook, then we give that to Herod. And we call ourselves children of God. And I need to ask the question, where are you spending Christmas this season? What is your focus? What are your motivations? What does Christmas mean to you other than children's reciting poems and things of that nature and getting all delicate and nice and cute? What is Christmas? And where are you spending it? Why does Herod get all the money? You got folk clamoring, trying to get into Herod's palace, knocking folk over to get to the last 42-inch TV. I was watching some folk this past week at the office where I was, and there were two individuals, and they were talking about this foolishness. And the one said to the other, and I was there to overhear it, and she said, "I remember I was at such and such a store, and I got the last TV. And the customer said to me, 'You got my television.'" That was supposed to be mine. And she said back to the customer, "Yeah, but I got it first." And the other customer, who got there too late, began to cuss her out. And she was telling us this story about how the customer cussed her out because she got her TV. And yet it's Christmas. Understand, we're buying the TV because of Christmas, but we're going to cuss you out because you got there first. I expect sinners to do that. I do know some saints who do it too. But I know a couple of saints who do it too. iPod, iPad, you know what I'm talking about. We just got to put the right gift in front of them. But the church should not live in Herod's palace. We shouldn't be so enamored by stuff that we forget about Christ. Because all you're going to get is counterfeit. And that's really why you're in church. You're not in church to look at me or to listen to Tony or anybody else. You're really in church because you're tired of counterfeit. Amen. If what you already tried to get was not fake, you would never go to church. Y'all not listening? Think about it. Why would you go to church if the world offered you what was real? You've never set foot in Blessed Hope Bible Church. If what the world offered you was sufficient, you'd have no need to step up in here. But all of y'all are in here, but you're not in here because you want to see somebody. You are in here because you saw something outside that did not give you anything real. And in your search for something real, you went searching for God. And we're just one of many places where you can find him. Well, if you found him, why not stay with him? In every area of your life, especially during this time of year. Why do we as Christians fall for the fake, fall for the phony, fall for the counterfeit, fall for that is not real? Let me tell you why. You got to understand the counterfeit industry. Counterfeit is big business. According to the International Anti-Counterfeiting Coalition, I know that's a big word, they're located in Washington, D.C. Fake products cost U.S. businesses $350 billion a year in lost sales. That's a lot of money. $350 billion. Now, billion has nine zeros. Million has six. Thousand has three. I'm talking about the one that has nine zeros. $350 billion a year in lost revenues. You say, well, why is it that the counterfeit industry is so big? Why is it so successful? There are two reasons. Number one, most of us can't tell the real from the fake. You can't tell real preaching from fake preaching. Can't tell real doctrine from fake doctrine. I'm just bringing it on here. We can't tell because sometimes charisma and magnetism, style points and persona gets the best of the senses and we lose track of what is truth. And the fakers know that. The fakers know that. And that's how they make money off of you. Because they can offer you something fake. And we can't tell the difference between what is counterfeit and what is real. That's why there's so many people who think they're Christ. They sound like Christ. But get into the hospital and you'll see who Christ really is. And I've been in the hospital enough to know. I've got enough sickness in my body to know who Jesus really is. The real Jesus from the fake Jesus. Well, what is the second reason why people fall so much for the fake? Because they want something for nothing. The low price of getting something that is a brand name appeals to their sense of covetousness. And let me get away from that Old Testament theological word, and to their sense of lust and greed. Gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. There's a very famous restaurant that uses the following caption, "What you crave," to appeal to that side of us. Amen? There are certain retailers, I don't even like to go to a certain retailer. They're so good at getting to that element of me. I'll go in for toothpaste and walk out with a shopping cart. They know what to do and how to do it. And they do it with a smile on their face. Y'all know what I'm saying. And have a good day. Well, you done got all my money. You better wish me something. Listen, and they know how to work it. But ain't nobody twist your arm. Nobody hijacked you and said, "You going shopping right now. You going to Herod's palace." No, we did it all by ourselves. Amen? Amen? And we're looking to try to get something for nothing. We can't tell the real from the fake. And that's where we lose. Because we put our hopes in something. And then all of a sudden, when it lets us down, then all of a sudden we're upset. But you know who we have to blame? Ourselves. But here's the beauty of knowing Jesus and the beauty of Christmas. So you made a mistake. You don't have to be defined by it. Oh, come on, y'all. So you made a bad choice. Point out to me someone who never has. Because my Bible, the last time I read it, said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Please show me somebody who hasn't made a mistake. Show me somebody who was born with a Bible in their hand, who never ever did something wrong. I really would love to meet that person. And I'm not talking about Jesus. Besides him, I would like to meet him. And it's not Santa Claus. Even he needs a savior. Well, he's not real, but let's just pretend. He's real, isn't he, children? Yes, he is, because he's going to bring your gifts this Christmas. Sure he is. Okay, if you believe that, go for it. Don't mess with Santa, somebody said. Okay. If you see him, tell him we have church on Sunday morning, 10:45. Tell him he's invited. We invite you, Santa, to church. In fact, to some of my children, if you happen to see him under the Christmas tree, give him my business card. If you see him drop off your gifts, just say, "Pastor Forrest is looking for you. Come on out to church." Don't just give him cookies and milk. Give him a New Testament or something. Flying around the world dropping off gifts is a long journey. He needs something to read. Let's move on. Listen to me carefully. The busiest day in the shopping season is the day after Thanksgiving. The second busiest day in the shopping season is the day after Christmas. The day after Thanksgiving is when everybody fills the stores to buy something. The day after Christmas is the day that everybody goes to the store to take back what they don't want. You say, "Well, what does that have to do with this message?" Everything. When you receive the gift of eternal life from Jesus Christ, you'll never take it back. No matter where you've been or what you've been through or what you've done, Jesus Christ is the same today and forever. You can trust him, not just on December 25th, but every day of the year. And I want to talk to somebody this morning. Let's not beat each other up. Let's point out the solutions instead of talking about problems. If you got a problem in your life, I want you to bring it to Jesus right now. You want to know how real Christmas is? Why don't we try him right now? Why don't we prove it right now? Why don't we find out right now? You want to know if Christmas has a meaning? Well, tell me this. Do you have a problem? Well, you can find out how much Christmas has a meaning. because the same Jesus that was born is the same Jesus who died, is the same Jesus who rose, is the same Jesus who lives forevermore, is the same Jesus who can make a way out of no way, is the same Jesus who can put food on the table, is the same Jesus who can put clothes on your back, is the same Jesus that can heal you when you're sick, is the same Jesus who can open doors that can't be shut and shut doors that can't be opened. He is the same Jesus that can heal your broken life. You don't have to be the same. You don't have to be the same. Next year don't have to be like this year when Jesus is standing by ready to make a new way for you. Is Jesus real? Only one way to find out. Try him. I don't believe that stuff. I dare you to try him. You'll find out. I'm going to do something different this morning. I'm going to ask you to try him. Because if you don't try him, the only one who hurts is you. You say, Pastor, well, how do I try him? You try him by trusting him. Well, how do I trust him? By believing in who he is and what he has done. Well, Pastor, what if he lets me down? There's billions of people who can attest that he has never let them down and he will never let you down. Well, I've trusted folk before and I've even went to church, but you didn't try Jesus. Because my Bible says that Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord is always with us. That's why David said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. I'll dwell in the fellowship of the Lord. How long? Forever. Amen. Well, I don't have a gift to bring him. I don't have nothing. You bring him your life. Because that's why he came down, so that you can have new life. You say, but Pastor, you told me earlier that all I bring them is your problems. That may be all you have. And that's all right. All I got to give Jesus is my mess, and he'll take it. Well, how do you know? Because he told me. He told me he would take it. When did he tell you? In the book of Matthew chapter 11, when he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Get that yoke of the world off of you, that mess, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You'll find some rest for your soul. Listen, Jesus will take the mess that you can't mess with. But you got to try him, you got to trust him, you got to believe in who he is and the work he accomplished. Bow your heads. Hallelujah this morning. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Hallelujah for your word, Lord. Your word is glorious and righteous and true. We want to give you worship fit for a king, the only king. Hallelujah. Somebody in this room, and I don't care if you've been a member of Blessed Hope all your life, you still need to trust him right now in a situation or a predicament that you may be in. I want you to raise your hand right now and say, Lord, I trust you. Come on. In the room, just raise your hand. Quit being churchy and looking around so hoping somebody won't see you. Don't you know we all need them at some point? There's nobody who will ever say, I don't need God. We need him, y'all. And when you raise, you say, Pastor, why am I being asked to raise my hand? To witness of your need. It's easy to walk out of this church just as messed up as you came in here. That's easy to do. That's a cop out. Jesus wants to pick you up, not put you down. But you got to come correct, and you got to say, I need you. And let's not talk about where you've been and what you've done. Let's talk about the blood that shall never lose its power, because it never will. It's available to you, 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 and you, and your cousin, and your brothers and sisters, and whoever else is in your family. Hallelujah. Come on, Tony.